Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Browns were 7-8-1 this last year. Mm-hmm. Would they or would they not have made the playoffs with Phil Dawson?
100% they would.
Okay.
But that's
I rest my case.
Nobody was to do with what he was saying.
Yeah, that was not my argument.
That has absolutely nothing to do with what Lima was saying.
Phil Dawson was a legend. But
great
I don't
kicker.
I don't
said it many times.
Yeah. You know, you also need long snappers, Ken. I bet there are some of the best some teams have better long snappers
Patriots
than others. Don't
Colts
care.
Fans, Patriots and Colts fans don't care about Adam Vinatieri.
They do because of the league.
They don't care about Steven Gostkowski.
Because obviously those guys helped them win Super Bowls. Phil Dawson didn't do any of that because the team was bad. Not his fault.
You know I'm right, but that's okay.
Not his fault. Just never want to buy a jersey of a kicker.
I'm going to go ahead and do the champion's pose over here.
Why?
Because I know a one. And we're going to go over to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Bring him up. Bring him up on the hotline. We welcome the dangerous one, Daryl Ryder, on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Hello, Daryl.
Good morning. I feel like I just walked into a landmine.
Well, basically, yeah, because I don't want to start this asinine argument again, but we can go right on ahead. Go ahead. Speak your piece there, dummy.
All I was saying, somehow, some way, Ken ends up crowbarring Phil Dawson into the discussion, and all I've ever said is I don't understand rooting
for a
kicker.
Actually, you brought up Phil Dawson, I think.
Did I?
Yeah, I
don't even know how it came up. I love that AAF is marginalizing the kick. They're getting rid of the kickoffs.
Right.
Teams are not really wanting to kick field goals or go for extra points. You're even seeing that in the NFL. And I can envision a world.
Watch, they need ratings, but they would definitely want to go for the field goal.
I envision a scenario, Daryl, in the future, in the near future, where you just don't have kickers anymore in the NFL. And I would like it. I think football would be a better game without kicking.
See, I disagree.
I think
kicking is an integral part of the game. I do believe, I'll agree with you, I think that ultimately at some point the NFL will do away with the kickoff. The AAF has given us, I think, a glimpse into the future by not kicking off, by not kicking extra points, but I think that, you know, kicking field goals, that's an integral part of the game. I like how the NFL moved the extra point back to provide a little more strategy, make the kick a little more difficult, and not as not as automatic as it used to be. So, but I do agree, kicking is being eliminated slowly but surely in the National Football League.
Yeah, Daryl.
That's disappointing.
Daryl, I understand it's integral because it's there. Any rule you put in, I mean, you could put a moat at the 50-yard line. Then you'd have to have guys that could jump over the moat and say, well, that's integral. But here's my issue, Daryl, is that you're right. I liked the idea of moving that extra point, but I think it backfired. And here's how it backfired. I think it exposed that this kicking that we always thought was some skill, it's more of a crapshoot. And look at the guys that are in there. Teams that draft kickers, well, that hasn't worked out for any of them. And now some of these undrafted guys are just as good, proving that none of us know anything about kickers. These teams are all just grasping at straws. And I cannot stand the fact that we could live in a world, and it already cost us this year, where we could lose out on a Super Bowl or lose an AFC Championship game because a kicker went out there and missed an extra point.
Yeah, but you would rather have a shot at it in the first place because you have to go down there. It's harder to score a touchdown than it is to kick a field goal.
But
that's what they would give you.
I think the game should be about scoring touchdowns, always.
Yeah, but you at least want a shot. So a kicker gives you a shot. You would have no shot, and that would make the final minute of the game worthless in that sense.
Why would it make the final minute of the game worthless?
If I get to the 40-yard line, at least I have a shot at a field goal. I still might not have a shot, and then I got a heave. Would you rather
the team's down 14 points in the final minute.
This becomes
it's worthless.
Rather. This becomes a would-you-rather. Would you rather have a shot at a field goal by a veteran kicker and a guy who's made kicks than have to heave-ho it into the end zone with 3 seconds left?
You had all game to try to score.
From the 30-yard line.
Well, you just want games to go down to the
wire,
and
that's
the only thing you care about?
That's what I'm asking. Which one would you want? You just made an argument for the games going down to the wire. You just said that, so I brought it up to you.
But it changes. What I'm saying is it changes the complexion of the entire game because teams are going for touchdowns the entire game. And there's just as much strategy, if not more, because you're pinning teams back. Now they're working against your defense. Now defense becomes more important. I think all of that, when you just have a guy running on, a 5'8" dude that played soccer his whole life to determine whether your team goes to the Super Bowl, you tell me how much you love kickers when a kicker costs you a Super Bowl.
If you don't want to answer the question, don't answer the question.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Sorry, Daryl.
It's a radio show,
Hi, Daryl.
We're here to answer questions.
No, you know what? It didn't cost the Los Angeles Rams a spot in the Super Bowl. They made a 57-yard field goal to move on.
Right, which is a total fluky element. And what happened with the Bears?
If I'm down 2 points with less than a minute to go and I've got the football, I don't want to have to score a touchdown to win the game. I just want to get in position to kick the field goal.
Jake Chapman was listening. Jake Chapman, the Midday Show producer, he was listening. He texted me on his way, and I just looked at it. And it said, without free throws, you don't go to watch games to watch free throws. Should we get rid of free throws?
But, you know, the difference is the guys that shoot free throws actually play the entire game and determine the outcome of the game. Kickers should not be the ones doing that.
So
I don't know how you don't get this.
What about the DH in baseball? Don't you want a universal DH?
I guess I do.
Pitcher pitches the whole game, so I guess you wouldn't want the pitcher hitting.
But I also want guys who can actually go up there and
hit.
Pitchers can't hit. They just can't.
Kenny's even nodding his head at that.
They can't hit.
I would like it if the pitchers hit. In both leagues.
No, that's like having kickers determine the outcome of the game. That's the exact same thing I'm arguing against.
Daryl, you're back in your studio. Do the champions pose with me, baby. Do it. Okay, I can hear you doing
it. I'd rather have Baker Mayfield determine the outcome of a game rather than a kicker.
Sorry, that's such crazy speak here. But again, I will bring it up a third time. Would you rather Baker Mayfield have to heave-ho it into the end zone with 3 seconds left or a kicker of some repute being able to hit a decent long field goal? I would rather have the kicker take the shot at it.
Okay, what if you're the defense? What do you want kickers determining games? And, by the way, these people that say, why do we call it football, and then you want to completely eliminate kicking from the game. Do you guys realize that the advent of the forward pass in 1930, the games evolve. 1933, you had a forward pass. Games evolve. It's okay. Sorry, Daryl. You have the floor.
I got nothing. I'm with Ken on this, man.
Thank you, baby.
Yeah, you guys go to the game to watch kickers.
Buddy.
Go enjoy your Phil Dawson jerseys.
I love my Daryl.
I'll wear Baker Mayfield. You can wear the Phil Dawsons.
He's a dangerous one.
That a deal?
For a reason. You don't have a Baker Mayfield
jersey. I'll wear
Mayfield
a Phil jersey. Dawson jersey, sure. He won a couple games for the Browns. I think he won like half the 40 games they won when he was actually
And they would
here.
Have made the playoffs if Phil Dawson was with them this year. So, I mean,
you're right, they would have.
Anyway, what else do we ask, Daryl? Oh, did you have a fun time at Fan Bowl, bud? Did you have a good time?
I did.
Good. Pictures available, 923thefan.com. There's pictures with us and Daryl. Daryl's a pretty good bowler. He beat me in the second game. I beat him in the first game, but we both kind of, we're not very good. All right, so when is the combine here, Daryl? When are we talking combine? A couple weeks?
Yeah, a couple weeks away, end of the month. It'll around February 27th is when guys start heading to Indianapolis. I think that's when I'm heading to Indianapolis. We'll get to visit with John Dorsey and Freddie Kitchens, where they will tell us absolutely nothing about their draft plans.
You know, it's pretty interesting, Daryl, is that we've talked about quarterbacks for so long. We're in a draft class now that the quarterbacks are bad. Or at least not bad, but not as good as the last class, I should say. Let me take that
back.
Not
a headliner class.
Exactly.
By any stretch.
And you're drafting 17th? So now it's a little bit different. We've talked about that next most important guy. But let me go back to the quarterbacks for a second. Would you rather draft a guy late round, or would you rather maybe pick up a guy as a free agent, spend some money on him, and have him as the backup quarterback behind Baker Mayfield?
I think it would behoove the Browns to sign somebody as a free agent to be the backup quarterback that has experience. This way, if, God forbid, something does happen to Baker Mayfield, you have an experienced player that you can put out there, and maybe your season isn't completely shot. You look to the Philadelphia Eagles as Exhibit A, why you really need a good, experienced backup quarterback. Won him a Super Bowl, got him to a playoff game in back-to-back seasons. So the backup quarterback is fairly important. I wouldn't be shocked if the Browns in the sixth or seventh round, if they drafted a quarterback just to maybe, you know, develop, throw the guy on the practice squad or whatever. But I think it will behoove the Browns to go ahead and sign somebody to be the backup. I don't envision Drew Stanton being the backup quarterback and having to play next season if, again, something happens with Baker.
See, I'd rather them not take a quarterback out of this class. I think that as you go deeper, it's going to be even worse. And if I'm going to use a fifth or a sixth or a seventh round pick, I'd like to give it to a guy who might be able to contribute. And if I'm talking about a sixth round quarterback, I don't know if I want to draft a guy with the hopes I can stash him on the practice squad. Right. And I'd rather just have somebody else developed who's ready, and I could spend a little bit of money on that guy, and he can come in and back up Baker. I think there will be a time where Baker gets far enough along in his own career where, all right, you want to take a mid-round flyer on a guy, late-round flyer on a guy, go right on ahead, it ain't going to kill you. And then you could develop him behind and see how that one works or provide motivation or whatever. But I think right now, hey, I need some depth. Who knows? Maybe that guy will not be anything good. Maybe that guy will be the next Jannard Avery. Maybe he'll help out.
I got the perfect solution. We just draft a kicker. That'll make Anthony Lima's day.
I do have a question about that because, in all seriousness, obviously kicking is a part of the game. It's not going anywhere just this minute. What do you think of the Browns situation at kicker? I thought they needed to continue bringing in guys last year. Even after the game winner against Baltimore, I'm like, they still need to try out other kickers. Joseph actually got a little more consistent throughout the year. What do you think?
Yeah. Yeah, I do think that they're going to need to look at the position. Looking at Joseph's numbers last year, he was perfect inside of 39 yards. He was 11 for 11. Then you get a little longer, 5 of 7 from 40 to 49, and then 50 plus, he made one of his two tries. This front office, every front office, they always talk about competition making the team better. I certainly think bringing in some competition would make Greg better, if not provide the Browns with a better option at the spot. So I think it makes sense that at some point that you'll see the Browns add a kicker to the roster to provide that competition this offseason.
Our Browns beat reporter, Daryl Ryder, joined us on the hotline. So let's switch to the defense here. And obviously we all understand that this team needs more pass rushing. And
they do.
Kind of fell apart. They weren't able to get to the quarterback outside of Myles Garrett second half of the football season. So the Browns are sitting there, you know, in the teens. Do you see them wanting to move up to get one of those solid pass rushers?
Yeah, I think it's certainly possible. Remember, the Browns have 10 picks in this upcoming draft. I don't foresee them picking 10 players. I think if they come out with six guys, that right there is a perfect balance for them and their needs to fill them. But three positions right at the top, you know, that they need to address, in my opinion, defensive tackle, defensive end, and linebacker. So, and that's, a guy that can rush the passer, be an impact pass rusher, as well as stop the run. The Browns still struggled stopping the run last season at times. So, I think that those three positions become a priority with that 17th pick, or should they elect to move up in the first round and go up and get somebody. And that's, again, is why John Dorsey's really sitting in the catbird seat right now, not only with the salary cap space he gets to play with this offseason, but the volume of draft picks provides him an opportunity to really move up and down the board at will and go get players in this draft class that they really covet.
And Daryl, do you think there is a big difference between the way that Steve Wilks is going to be a defensive coordinator and the schemes they're going to use compared to Greg Williams, who we've seen the last few years?
Well, there'll be a lot less swearing on the practice field, I'm guessing. I think that that'll probably be the biggest difference. I mean, Wilks told us last week, Anthony, he wants to be aggressive, that, you know, they're going to keep the 4-3 base. Not that it really matters, as he mentioned, and we've talked about 70% or so of the defensive snaps, you're not even in your base because of all the packages, as he pointed out. Even if you're in a 3-4, most of the time you're in a 4-3 anyway because you got four guys up at the line of scrimmage. So they're going to keep the base, so they really don't have to because if you switch from a 4-3 base to a 3-4, there's a chance you have to switch up that side of the roster and make a bunch of changes there. And that's not going to happen with Wilks. They're going to use the personnel they have and build upon the foundation that's here. But the terminology is going to change. Some of the scheme is going to change. But as far as being aggressive, Wilks kind of made it a point to say that he does like being an aggressive defensive coordinator.
How much of the AAF did you get to watch this weekend? Did you get to watch much of it?
I watched Saturday night. I watched last night. Boy, I tell you, Phil Savage's team, the Arizona Hotshots, they looked pretty hot to me last night, that's for sure.
Daryl, real quick, because my question would be, was there something out of there that you would like to see the NFL, and we don't have a lot of time, but is there something you'd like to see the NFL adopt that the AAF did?
Two things, the Sky Judge, and then also allow us to listen in on the replay reviews. I thought those two elements that the AAF had in their broadcast were absolutely phenomenal, and I'd love to see it in the NFL.
I actually agree. Now, Lima did bring up a question, and we're going to have to address this after the break. And, Daryl, we thank you very much because Lima did wonder about, well, you got serious gamblers out there, and if you're putting a person's name out there and putting their face, it might throw you off a little bit, might make you a little bit nervous there because there could be some psychos out there as far as fans and gamblers. So there was a possibility there. But Daryl,
you see the officials on the field, though.
Fair.
Know, so.
That's fair. Daryl, we thank you very much for the time. Thank you for being an arbiter at first and then obviously taking us through this odyssey that is the Browns offseason. We thank you very much for it.
You got it, guys.
The sensational one, the dangerous one, Daryl Ryder, on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.